98.1 KZE. It is MK with you a little bit after 4 o'clock on your Thursday, and we're all in just puppy heaven right now. It's myself, Alyssa's here. We've got Sarah and Aaron from Hudson Paws in Hudson, New York, and in Alyssa's lap. Alyssa, would you like to describe this little man?
In my lap is Sawyer, and Sawyer is the absolute cutest, most chill puppy I've ever met in my life. He just takes any new position to be curled up in a little ball, mm-hmm. and he's perfect.
He's a perfect little angel man.
He's an angel.
I can't believe him. Well, Aaron, Sarah, welcome. Thank you for coming, and thank you for bringing this little gentleman.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
It's been so nice getting to talk about Hudson Paws, obviously, as anybody who listens knows. I love dogs. Actually, we were just talking, we're a very dog-friendly station here. We're all kind of animal lovers. So we're all really excited to have a rescue that we can promote and just, you know, and also the prospect of meeting some of your puppies was very exciting. Yeah. So I've been looking at the website. You have the most beautiful website.
Thank you.
It's so well done.
Thanks.
And
we did it ourselves. It's all in-house.
Yeah.
Low budget.
You can tell, like, so much love has gone into it. So much love for these dogs. I mean, can you tell me kind of just the story, Sarah, of how you started this rescue?
Yeah, I started by purchasing a old Labradoodle kennel that bred Labradoodles in Hudson on the border of Greenport. And we rehabbed it. It was kind of a mess, and made it into a rescue about 4 years ago. And we started with getting transports out of California. We usually flew them in, mm-hmm. because California in the Central Valley was very, very overcrowded, and all the shelters back after COVID. You know, everyone adopted dogs during COVID, and then once COVID ended, a lot of the dogs were just put out to stray because all these shelters were full, with all of them coming back to shelters. So we, it was pretty much statistically the worst state in the nation right after COVID.
So that was why you decided to, mm-hmm. to work with California.
Yeah, and I'd been on the board of a rescue out there. I lived in San Francisco at the time, and moved out here to be closer to my daughter, who's in Germantown, and also fell in love with a house in Warren, on Warren Street, that I renovated.
Oh, awesome.
So, yeah. So then, after a couple years of transporting from California, it got the situation there kind of cleared up.
Stabilized a little bit.
Yeah. It stabilized a couple years ago, and we started focusing more on the southern states, Alabama, Georgia. And that's where we primarily transport from now. Mm-hmm. We just recently started partnering with New York City and their shelters. So we now pull from overcrowded city shelters. There's Queens and Manhattan that we're currently pulling from. And then what we do is we bring them in, and wherever they're from, be it, you know, the southern states or the city, we usually have some rehab to do because there's kennel stress and other issues usually that they have when they get to us. So it takes a little while for us to get them ready to be adopted, but we have a pretty 100% rate, pretty good rate after the last 2 years. With New York City and the southern states.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, we adopt out really great, acclimated, happy dogs. They have a ton of space to run around, about an acre at the rescue, so they get a lot of outside time and socialization.
That's really amazing. And that's something that a lot of traditional shelters are not able to really offer.
No, most of them have kennels, but they have, like, leash walks once or twice a day, and otherwise they're in a pretty small space.
Yeah.
So our kennels are really spacious, and they have indoor-outdoor access. And then when they are out, they can run freely, or we also do leash walks twice a day with each dog to get them ready to be adopted and
sure, you gotta have
good
leash
on
manners.
A leash. Yeah.
But you also, like, you know, it's, you need leash manners, but you also need to be socialized with other dogs, and that's
that's the thing.
Really hard with a lot of rescue dogs.
A lot of them come in very reactive, and we train them, we get them ready and healthy, and we've had great success.
Yeah.
It's been a wonderful experience, and yeah.
Now, you did tell me that you foster failed once or twice.
Personally, yeah, I'd say four times.
Yeah.
Back in California before I moved here, probably three times back there and twice yeah. here now that I'm in New York.
Is it ever hard with the dogs that come through the rescue? And for you too, Erin, like, is it ever, like, impossible to let go?
No.
It's bittersweet. You yeah. know, we love these guys. Yeah. And we're in the business of taking care of them and finding good homes for them. So it's so happy. And in fact, just today,
yeah.
we had two adoptions before we got in the car and came here.
That's so amazing. We had two today.
It's really yeah. happy.
You have a lot of puppies right now, I noticed on the website. Were these all litters that came in together, like this beautiful little man over here? Is it common to have so many puppies in the shelter?
When we do a big transport from, as Sarah said, from Alabama, they have so many puppies there because their spay-neuter laws are different than New York.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they just have an abundance of stray puppies.
Gotcha. So I was wondering why that was. Mm-hmm. That I know that it's common to ship up dogs from shelters in the South. I know mm-hmm. there are a lot more strays, a lot more homeless animals down there, and I wasn't mm-hmm. sure if it was because of lack of access to affordable spay-neuter, lack of information, or it's something more to do with the laws.
It's all
a combination. Yeah. yeah.
We do also take in local surrenders, mm-hmm. you know, people who,
yeah.
for various reasons, can no longer care for their dog. And so we view ourselves as, you know, an important part of the community in that regard, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah I mean, let's talk a little bit about adoption versus, you know, adopt versus shop is the thing that yeah. people usually talk about. And certainly there are ethical breeders out there, but there are so many more backyard breeders. And it is so important to adopt when there are so many animals out there that, you know, need homes mm-hmm. and more being produced every day. What are some of the things that you've found in your experience as a rescue to that end?
Well, we get a pretty varied variety of dogs. So we try to, you know, fill the needs for different breeds as much as possible. We do, you know, there's a plethora of bully breeds that do come our way, but we do get in, you know, we're getting in a purebred lab tomorrow.
And I got my Samoyed from the shelter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody
got him as a puppy from, like, you know, Amish country from a backyard breeder.
Yeah.
And then I suspect couldn't handle him because he was in his shark phase. And yeah, so I got this, like, 7-month-old purebred Samoyed, yeah. which I was not looking for a purebred, but there he was. And I was like, oh, he's beautiful. I know nothing about this breed. Time to take on a lifelong commitment. And yeah. he was my best friend for 12 years.
There yeah. You so you can find all kinds of dogs yeah. At adoption. If you really want a specific breed and you want a pedigree, then, you know, can't help you there. But
you also never know.
We did have a purebred French bulldog.
Yeah.
On my first transport from California, I actually drove across 21 dogs from the Bay Area to here, and we had a Frenchie, and
That must have been quite a road trip.
Yeah, it took 5 days.
Yeah, 5 days with a car full of dogs.
Yeah, we had to stop every 4 to 5 hours yeah. at different, like, dog parks along the way across the country. And then Howard Johnson's lets you have dogs. So we'd find the Howard Johnson's wherever we were. And
just roll up to Hojo's with your five dogs.
Yeah, that was quite I wanted to make a short video about it, but we never had time to really focus. We were so yeah. busy with the dogs.
Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah, you can find all kinds of dogs in shelters and rescues like us. So I encourage people to at least give it a chance, you know. You can definitely find great
absolutely.
Dogs.
All different kinds.
And yeah.
There's such an abundance of dogs that need homes
yeah.
that don't come from breeders. Just, you know, being in the business,
mm-hmm.
We're just big supporters and really advocates for adopting
yeah.
rescues versus breeders.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with it either way, but
yeah.
There just is such an abundance of wonderful dogs that
yeah.
that
yeah.
we see coming through that need great homes.
Tell me more about Sawyer here. So you said he's part plot hound and part what else?
lab
plot hound, and
so, yeah,
he's such a chill. You said he was the runt of the litter.
He's the little guy. We have his mom is Willow. She's a beautiful brindle colored Labrador plot hound mix, and she's
at the shelter,
has a wonderful demeanor, disposition, and she came when her puppies were old enough. We transported them, and she came with her six puppies. And Sawyer and Sirius are the only two left, and they're both adorable and ready to
little get angel into babies. His picture will be on our Instagram very soon. If you're just joining us, by the way, we're chatting with Aaron and Sarah from Hudson Paws, hudsonpaws.org. Let's talk a little bit about like fundraising, volunteering. Do you need volunteers, and do you accept donations?
Oh, of course, yes.
We're a nonprofit 501c3, so every donation, we depend on donations, and every donation is fully tax deductible.
Nice.
We also, of course, take monetary donations, but everything from dog treats to dog blankets, like things people don't necessarily think about. Mm-hmm. PP pads, paper towels, anything, we welcome that because, we just need... Like any nonprofit, we need support in those areas. We have a wonderful group of volunteers. We have about 10 volunteers. Yeah. They're so important
really
to the
great.
Work we do.
But we're always open to more.
Absolutely. They come and go.
Can never have enough.
Yeah, yeah.
They really help out because they walk the dogs. Mm-hmm. And it's time-consuming, actually, leash walking, and it takes the staff away from other stuff they need to be doing.
Of course, but it is important.
It's really great for them to be able to get out and walk on leash and get used to being, on a lead.
Yeah. When you are fielding potential adopters, I imagine there's a process that you go through. Do you ever kind of try to match the person with the dog?
What you mean, adopting or for volunteering?
Well, more adopting. I'm like wondering if there's ever been a case where like somebody put in an app for one dog and you were like, what? Like, you'd be a better fit for this dog.
It happens all the time.
Does it really?
All the time. They come in and they're like, I don't, And then we, kind of talk amongst ourselves. I think they should meet this one.
Because the dog's personality
you,
so
yeah,
well.
And you meet the person in person instead of on, an application. And then... like with the couple the other day, they wanted one dog, and then I said, let's try Arabella with them, and it was a perfect match. And they're adopting Arabella.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, so when they get there in person, it can change.
Yeah. And that's something that, you can't really get from every rescue or even from every breeder operation. Because,
it's
be with people who just know their dogs so, so well and care so much that they want to make these, really good connections.
We encourage them to be open-minded to seeing other dogs, and we'll bring them in. We have, an upstairs office that's kind of like a living room. It's got a couch and some chairs, so it kind of mimics a home environment. And we meet there with prospective adopters, and we bring the dogs up there. So it's a nice, quiet environment for them.
That's really nice.
Usually the dogs pick they end up picking their owners. It's just they gravitate towards
that's
certain
like my
people.
Dream. I just want, well, actually, that is kind of how we got our puppy because she was at a shelter with her litter, and we got to go in and sit with the litter, and we chose the one that was just liked us the most.
Yeah.
Just wanted to be with us.
That's what happens a lot. Yeah.
And something great about having an actual facility like we do is that people can come to our location and meet dogs as opposed to just getting them from far away and never having the opportunity to interact.
Yeah, that's really important.
Yeah.
And what is, sorry, you go ahead.
We're close to Massachusetts, Connecticut, they come from Vermont, Pennsylvania, Maine. People, so it's a good location.
Yeah.
It's not hard to get to Hudson from a few different states.
Yeah.
And we're friendly. We really encourage our staff to, be friendly. Like, we're part of the community.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like you guys as a radio station.
Yeah,
we
absolutely.
Really want to be a good, supportive part of our Hudson Valley community.
Yeah. hudsonpaws.org is the website. And when somebody is interested in adopting and they go to the website, they've, fallen in love with a picture of a dog. Is it by appointment only? You put in your application first and then you can come in and meet a dog?
Yeah. Usually people call or email, say we're interested in this particular dog. What's the process? And then we say go to, you go to the website and just fill out the adoption form online. And then we call them back in to actually interview in person. And usually we encourage them to take all the family members with them when they come, like if they have kids or husband and wife both, or partners come together. And then if they decide they want a dog, if you decide you want to adopt, then we just check your vet reference. If you've already had a dog before, if you haven't, we ask you where your vet would be located if you did adopt this dog. They need a vet nearby. And then we check, you know, if you're renting, if you're allowed, and letter from the landlord or whatever, or if you own just a tax record or something that you own your own home.
But like a fenced in yard is not necessarily a
requirement. It's not mandatory. Okay. It's great.
Yeah.
But it's not mandatory depending on where the location is. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're far enough from roads that it's okay. Like the people adopting Arabella have 5 acres, but no fence.
Right.
So, but they live pretty remotely, and Arabella's not a dog that's going to run off. And so, you know, it's a case by case.
Yeah.
But there are some general, you know, rules that we go by. And sometimes there's exceptions.
Yeah.
It's really case by case.
Yeah. Because I know sometimes, you know, this is something you hear where people are like, oh, you know, I would love to rescue a dog, but I've been turned away because
they get turned away all the time.
Didn't have a fenced in yard or didn't have, you know, but like if somebody truly is like, you know, a loving person who wants to take excellent care of this animal and is responsible, you don't necessarily have to have like the perfect setup.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many people have come in to us that have been denied from a lot of other bigger, like SPCA driven rescues, just because of one thing that they, you know, and they haven't even met them yet. So we're a little bit easier in that sense. Not that we're lax, but we are easier to adopt from in a few different ways, I think. And we do home visits. Sometimes if we're on the fence and we're like, I don't know if it's a good fit, and we'll go out and we'll bring the dog and do like a trial run and see how they go with a cat or another dog. You know, sometimes people already have other animals, obviously.
So I have to point out that Sawyer is finally being a puppy, and it's so cute. He's
chewing.
He's chewing a little bit on
piece of rubber on the mic stand.
He's not going to do any harm. It's just so cute. Hey. Like, he's been sitting just silent on Alyssa's lap this entire time, and he was finally like, okay, I would like to drink some water, and now I think I will chew on this
stand.
He
warmed up.
He's so cute. Sawyer. We're chatting with Hudson Paws. Again, that is hudsonpaws.org for adoptions and donations and to find out information about volunteering. Sarah, Aaron, is there anything else that we should know about the organization or any upcoming events that you'd like to mention?
One component of our organization that we're really trying to grow and bolster is our foster network. I know that you mentioned fostering
earlier. I've done a bit.
Yeah, so we just have a few people who foster dogs, and it's so wonderful for the animals. It gets them into a home environment. They really, really fast-tracks their rehabilitation and their training. And in addition to that, it opens up kennel space, which means by rescuing one dog, you're actually saving two.
Yeah, exactly.
And it is a big responsibility, so we understand why it's hard for people to commit, but we're really hoping that we can find community members willing to
And just to plug fostering, it's so wonderful, it's so rewarding. We've fostered 3 dogs, and you know, would not change a thing, and we considered keeping each and every one of them, of course, but it's just so amazing, and it feels so good to know that you have like shepherded a dog along to its perfect home. And in each case, they were dogs who like were not doing well in the shelter, so it was like great to be able to like get them into our home, let them truly like show their real personalities, and let them, you know, be able to find their forever people.
So if anyone's interested in fostering, we have a application on our website, hudsonpaws.org, and you can just click on one of the many buttons, and the application will be sent directly to us. You don't have to print it or anything. It's really easy, and then we'll give you a call.
Awesome.
It's actually really fun to foster.
Yeah, it really is. It is heartbreaking when you let them go, but in a very beautiful way.
Yeah. My daughter does some fostering for us, and it's worked out really well. Mm-hmm. We have a couple different people, but we really need to build that.
Okay, good to know. So yeah, hudsonpaws.org, if you have ever thought about fostering dogs, now this is your sign.
Yeah.
Head on over.
Yes.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming in, and thank you for bringing this little angel man. Alyssa may have to take him home.
I need him. I need him to come home with me. He's so perfect.
And he has the same name as your boyfriend.
He does.
Come on.
It's Sawyer Jr.
Sawyer Jr.
You wouldn't even change it.
Nope. I'd leave it.
Yeah. You call him Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Well, please come back, and please keep bringing us puppies.
Thank you. We will. Anytime. Tell us when.
We will keep rescuing them, and we'll keep bringing them by.
98.1 KZE. We got your community bulletin board. Actually, first, Chris Trapper, Friday night at the dog park in honor of Hudson Paws. KZE, little Chris Trapper, Friday night at the dog park. And that could be your Friday night after you adopt your next dog from Hudson Paws. Go to hudsonpaws.org. And I just wanted to bring Sarah and Aaron back on for one more second because we were just kind of chatting. And you guys were telling me something really amazing about the dogs who come back and visit the rescue after they've been adopted.
Yeah, so we were chatting about how some of the adopters bring back the dogs to visit later on, maybe a year later. Every single one of them that comes back is so excited to be there.
Yeah.
And it's a testament to how happy the place
just
is.
Just what a great environment.
What a great experience they had. And whereas I would think, you know, most dogs wouldn't want to go back to
it's a stressful place usually, the shelter, even, but obviously every shelter is doing its absolute best, but it is a stressful environment most of the time, so it really is a testament.
It's amazing, and the owners are always surprised, like, my God, they're so happy to be here, and they want to see everyone and wagging, and it's really heartwarming, and it's an affirmation every time that happens for us that, wow, we're doing the right thing, we're doing a good job.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And was there an event coming up that you wanted to mention?
Yeah, we have a few pop-up events that we do just to advocate for the work and for adoptions. We have one this Saturday at Upper Depot Brewery.
Awesome.
In Hudson.
In Hudson. And check out our website. We'll be posting more. Or if you have an organization or a location that is interested in doing something like this, it's really fun and it brings a lot of good attention to the rescue, but also to whatever the business is that we're partnering with.
Yeah. But we should be there this Saturday, I think around like 12:30 to 3:30.
Yes.
Or so, yeah.
Paws and Pints.
Paws and Pints.
We call it Paws and Pints at Upper Depot.
Excellent combo.
Yeah, great combo. And then there's the food truck outside.
Mm-hmm. Everything you need.
Yeah.
There you go.
So. HudsonPaws.org is the website. We've got your community bulletin board and music from Marshall Crenshaw when we return.